So, Burnsy, morning.
Morning, mate.
How are you?
All right, now we're in here, yeah. So, yeah. Nice to be on the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah, so great to have you on. As I probably explained to you, we shout about people who are doing great things in Brum. Obviously, you've been not...
Trying.
Or shouting about Brum, let's say.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've been a big part of it with the Roost, amongst other stuff. Been down here, been playing down the blues and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, just want to delve into that a little bit, really. So, if you want to start off and just tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself.
Like I say, I was just mentioned from Erdington, bandy country, them all over there.
Yeah.
Grew up over there. So a lot of people say to me, how are you blues when you didn't have it in Erdington? And my dad run pubs 30 years, Erdington based. And the biggest and best I remember is the Baggots, 92. So I'm 11, 12, and the Baggot would be probably the main Villa pub.
Mm-hmm.
But brilliant set of lads. Honestly, for Villa fans, they're a brilliant set of lads. And that's where my childhood memories of growing up. You watch the Premier League years now on Sky and all that. I always relate to back to being in there. But football-wise, yeah, I saw them there, 11, 12. A bit different back then to what it is now. Playing for the school and the district and then the county side. And you play for the side of the Blues when I was, what, 12, something like that. Which obviously being at the bag, it was great. Coming in the kit every week and that sort of stuff. But I was always a Blues fan. Oh, I say a Blues fan. If you delve back further, you might find the odd picture from years and years ago in Liverpool kit.
In the 80s.
Well, the 80s, Liverpool was the side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously, can't be bad at that.
Well, the thing was, my dad was like, I said, well, how did they end up Liverpool? I know they won everything, but he said, growing up playing football, I mean, I had a million Liverpool toes. And my old mate said to me, that's why you played the way you was, because you just would be watching Liverpool all day, every day. So there's a method beyond the madness. Okay. But then all of a sudden, I started going to the Blues. So there's two lads in the bag, Carl and Will, who's Blues fans. There was Blues in them, not me, no. And I'd get the tickets for playing for Blues, and they'd take me down. And that was the end of it for me then. Just like, you know, I'd go into school on a Monday.
Got the bug.
I'd be in school on a Monday, be sending me pals in school, like, what was going on on the Saturday. And I was like, Rob, you know, you're playing for the Blues, you're doing really well, you know, don't think you should be in the pubs the weekend with all the Blues fans, like, you know. I said, well, I am. It was just the way it was, you know. So, playing football for the Blues, the Canes, etc., and then ended up, signed a 5-year contract when I was 15.
It's been like a dream, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So that was me, in a sense, not done, but like that was me 2-year YTS. Last 2 years as a schoolboy, 2-year YTS, and another year on top, which was like, that's what all you was aiming for, generally. Mm-hmm. School wise, then just went out the window, because you're done. You know, you're deaf school, you're done. And then signed as a YTS. And like I said, not like it is now.
So that was when the academy was good, wasn't it? And then it got scrapped, and then it...
Well, just before I signed the 5-year deal, the whole lot went.
Who was in charge then?
Cameron Bradley was in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went. And a lot of kids left. John Eustace, you know, I spoke to him. They all ended up going. There's a lot of the players. I ended up staying because I was a Blues fan. I just wanted to be a player for the Blues. And that conversation my dad used to have with me going... Because there were other clubs, it was Forest, Leeds, all sorts of players could have got. No, sign with the Blues. Doesn't want to sign with the Blues. That's what I want to do. I want to play for the Blues. And then there was a massive overhaul, which probably didn't do me a lot of favours, to be honest. When Trevor took over, he brought in a bloke called Brian Eastick, who, coaching-wise, fantastic. But man management and working alongside young kids, he just used to murder you. But there was never an arm around your shoulder. And some people can't be murdered all the time, yeah. You know? I'd signed my contract under Kevin Broadhurst. Now, I think if Kev had started, because I was a bit like their project, Kev would have pushed me. They made a big thing in making me, you know?
Yeah. What position did they sign you as?
I played in midfield. But people talk about it, like it was different then. You're cleaning the boots. You leave the house at 7 in the morning. You've got to be at Wastels for 9 o'clock, and I'm Erdington. So that's like,
out of town.
Cleaning boots, scrubbing a stand, marking pictures out, putting goals up, collecting wet kitting, But you know what? If you said to me now, you can have a week of your life back, you'd be back then. We just loved it. And the Blues at the time, like, people forget it. Blues are always up there at that time on the Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Always playoffs in the threes and the trots. What was it, Watford? Or we were three or four, Watford, Preston, mm-hmm. and Barnes. We got hammered here by Barnes before 4-0. But there was always up there, Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And
just couldn't quite get it over the line, could they? And then Bruce come in. And
I know, but people say about, I mean, the only one that went in really was AJ. And again, I'm not going to against AJ, but like, circumstances of him going into the first team, we used to, on a Friday morning, we get pulled over, called dustbins, brought easy, we go mad. Taking them over there for, they should be trying, we go again to the following day, but we just go over, and he set the 11 up against the side player of the Saturday. Excuse me. And whenever we got a ball, start again, it's just a waste for someone's going over. Well, at least particular morning, they let us play, and the ball dropped round about the left back area, and God rest him, Gary Ablett was just in between the ball and AJ. And I'm not being funny. Any one of that youth team at the time would run past Abs, the way the ball drops. He knocks it past Gary Ablett. The next one to come across is Brucey, and he's stuck in the middle of no man's land. AJ goes past him, crosses it, we go 1-0 up. We never seen AJ again. Because he's gone past two centre-halves, so Premier League centre-halves at 16. Never seen him again. But if it landed to me, you, anybody else, that would have happened at the same time. But in regards to AJ going in, he was always going to go in because he scored goals, he was lightning quick.
Yeah.
Only Daz Carr went after that, and that was under Bruce. But because Blues were always up there, it was never for young kids. You look back, it went down, split down low.
Yeah.
No kids went in.
No.
No kids. Remember, there was a situation one Saturday, Friday morning, there wasn't a fullback at the club. Granger, Jono, Jerry Gill, John Pass.
Painter was in and around, wasn't
he? After us, Painter was. Anybody who could play, Gary Rowett was there. Anybody who could play fullback was injured. And the lad called Tony Capaldi in our youth team was playing for Cardiff and Plymouth and Leeds. Mm. And we went, we've got to be in the squad, Tone. We've got to be at least, there's not a fullback at the club. And we were all buzzing, thinking one of ours going to the pitch. Nothing. But then, quarter to half, Kenny Brown turned up. And Kenny Brown, played the Premier League for West Ham. Mm. 38 years old. But what my point being, Trevor would never go with kids because he couldn't afford to, because he was under so much pressure to make sure they grow that league. Do you know what I mean? So, and that's why he played so many reserve team games, because they wouldn't play him the reserves because he needed to, just in case he had to, you know.
So you think if it wasn't for that era of the pressure on him, do you think that was because he was revered down there and with his reputation as a player?
Yeah, well,
that's what the extra pressure on him.
He's still, obviously, another one. Plus, he's still Blues main. I mean, also, there's him, Dougray, and Horsfield. I don't know how Horsfield gets in it, but like, he's that's the three for me. And so there was a lot of pressure, of course, there was. And obviously, the club, you know, Brady, they were putting loads on him.
Mm.
And he never got on with them. There was always cat and dog, you know. So, there was no kids going at the time.
So then from that era into Bruce, so is it literally before that or after that, your opportunities would have been there? But you just, it was wrong place, wrong time to be.
Do you know what? I mean, like I said, people are going to watch this and go, oh, he's clown. He didn't play for the Blues. I never played for the first team. Yeah, I was there 4 years. Played a lot of reserve team games.
I was going to say, you get 200 reserve team.
It wouldn't be far off. So the different types of games, do you know what I mean?
Unheard of to get that many.
No. Listen, Tony Capaldi, who went to
Cardiff,
but he went to Plymouth from the Blues. He must play 400 reserve team games, didn't he? Every week he was playing. And he was lucky that when his contract was up here under Bruce, Plymouth had seen him and wanted to take it out, and he got a go, and he went on a great career, Tony.
What's that like for motivation for you guys then, knowing that there's no pathway or there's very little pathway to actually get from the reserves to the first team?
It's probably. See, the thing, like I said, you're living a dream in a sense of. I mean, we had a lot of kids who lived in Middlesbrough and Liverpool, and they hated it because they're not going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? They're not good enough. And they know they're just way. They don't want to be around here. They don't want to be here. They want to go home. But it's different for me. Just thinking, if ever there's that chance, you know, ever there's... But there was never going to be. Like the Kenny Brown thing, there was never going to be a chance to go in. But because you're a Blues fan, you don't want to... Listen, like I said, you know, when the day come, it was all over for me. It was like, oh, I don't know. But the perseverance of it going, well, there might be a chance. I might have a spate of 3 months when I go just do three... done some mad things and get a chance. That's all it is. Wow. I see training one day, something in it like that. Like, I mean, Ian Bailey was reserved to him, mate. Ian Bailey loved me. Ian Bailey loved me. He said, get you a game, you know, and it just, it, football, if your faith fits a lot of it. And don't get me wrong, it's like I said, poor guy, he's never played, but I'm a believer if you're good enough, you get that eventually if you want it bad enough, right? And being good enough is not just the ability out there, it's the not going to Sturdy Bakers on a Wednesday after reserve game. It's not going to the bookies. It's not going to having 4 points when you should have had two. It's the whole package. It's going to the gym after you've trained. I mean, you look at them now, the best players are the hardest workers. It's as simple as that. And they get out of what they put in, and they, like your Ronaldo's. No, you're at different levels here now.
Yeah.
But like, he's not talking about, because he's doing, you watch all the Man United podcasts, he was training after training. So if you could say to kids now, oh, look, I've been there, I've done it, in a sort of sense, what, you could help them, but they've got to want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you can see kids now scrubbing boots.
Whose boots were you cleaning back then?
I did Barry Horn and Ian Bennett in my first year. And then Barry Horn went, and I did Benno's and Skip's, which was great.
It's a class little lineup, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I was top man. In the, you get a top lad at the UFC, and we stuck up and make charge of everything. So I always make them up. Listen, kids out of clean boots. Where Jimmy Arthur, he used to put him in the shower afterwards and leave him for the following morning. And then like, Grange used to want to volley him over the wall. Do you know what I mean? Can't fucking wear them. What am I supposed to do with them and this and that? And then we had, you remember this name? We had a bloke the one day, a new signing turn at one day, and the youth teammate said, oh, somebody's got to clean his boots. And they went, who is he? And they looked at this German bloke over a car with big mullet. Because that's Tony High. Remember Tony? I played Ward right for us.
Mm.
Nobody cleaned his boots. Oh, I'll have to do it when I was about, yeah. When they used to, he said, yeah, we clean the boots, we do all that, just give us stuff. And he went, okay. And, he said, well, what size are you? Some size 8. I said, yeah, following morning, you're only sponsored by Deodora. So come in the following morning, got out of his car, and he couldn't walk for the boxes of stuff he got me. So I cleaned his boots. So all the lads, like, well, you know, that's what you get for riding out of the way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it used to go beyond that, like you say, we'd have to get the bus back from Wastills, which Wastills is the coldest, wettest place in the world. Get the bus back from there, back to where, because it's all changed, because all the change was all under the, it was all the Gilmanic,
yeah,
all around there. Get the bus back with Brian Murphy, old Brian Murphy. Get all the kit in the big, massive tumble dryers.
Are you guys at to?
Yeah, the kit man was based here, but we used to bring it all back, get it all out for me, put it all in, and then be back of a morning at 7 o'clock to get it on the minibus to go to Wastills.
Is it craft?
You're on £42.50 a week, by the way.
Is it?
That's what we're on, £42.50 a week. So it was hard, but I loved it. Because you used to have every match that I hung on, two, you had to just do matches, which meant you'd be doing the balls on the pitch, ball boots out, loud, a key out. Then after the game, sweep all the dressing rooms, all the kit back up. But I did every week because I wanted to be here. Do you know what I mean? Whereas all the lads from Middlesbrough and all them, they need to fuck off home. Because the youth team would play at 11 o'clock in the morning. So then they don't want to come back here, do they? They want to go home. But I was only at the drove. So I used to drop them all to the train station and exchange for their tickets. And at 2 o'clock every week, I had a Puma coat in the kit room, and I put the Puma coat on and a cap, and I'd be walking up and down outside the paddock with all the tickets for a fiver. Because I had all the tickets.
Side hustle.
Yeah, because I'm from
46
a week.
Yeah,
right? So that, I used to go. So I used to do what, but I wanted to be round.
Not just short of the fake moustache and glasses.
Yeah, I wanted to be round it, you know, because just being a Blues fan, I wanted to, you know. That's what it was about for me, at the games. And I go to the away games, like I said, and people, you shouldn't be doing that at away games, going to the pub and away games. But it was. But it's different then. There was none of these, no mobile phones, no Facebook. And the pub said to me, because nowadays, if you play for somebody under 8, you've got a Wikipedia page. Mm. You know, and they're all over it now, but we never had no pictures and all that sort of stuff then. You know, so you get away with it, like going up to the roost. They get the signed balls at the dressing room, go up to the roost, give them to the gaffer, raffle that back in 2 weeks, we'll split the dough. I was into all that sort of thing. Probably another reason why. Yeah, probably another reason why I'm sat here now and not in there with the ex-players, you know what I mean? But the time of my life, loved it. I'd give anything to go back for a week.
But you say it felt like you was being paid to, to live out your dream.
I think my last year, I was on 300 quid. Last year, it went 300 quid, which felt like, you know, that's it. It was all in flannels on the way home. Long show, new pair of jeans every week. But we're going to town. Like I just said that the kids now, you wouldn't, I mean, they're not allowed to, are they? They're not allowed to do it, but they wouldn't do it now. I mean, we used to get the players down here when I was here. It was like a Sunday team, but obviously a top championship team. Benno, Granger, Jono, Percy, Oldsworth, Rowett, Myra, Conor, Brian Hughes, Larry Reedis, Unlove, Dev, Horse, Dealer, Stern, John, all proper players. But it was like a Sunday team, but they used to am here.
So that's a great squad, that, isn't it?
I forget about Oldsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Rich. He's good, isn't
he? Rich, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was all of David Burrows was here for a while. Another one. Kennington, mm-hmm. Mark Birchall, coming from Celtic. The players, yeah,
the original line plan not to fall
so,
in
love. So then you look, then you look and say, hey, look, well, hang on a minute. How would you go on that side anyway?
Yeah.
Graham Hyde. You look at Graham Hyde, he's like, same size as that cup. Scruffy, look, what player?
Yeah.
Danny Sonner, my pal still took Danny Sonner now.
We tried to get him on. He's living the life in Miami, isn't he?
I don't know if he's living the life, but he's definitely worth getting on, trust me. He's comedy gold. Sonner was back a couple of years ago. I took him to the Midway to do a do. My pal done a do there, and he had Tatey.
Oh, was that the British Legion?
Yeah. He had Tatey, Skip, Horse, and Devon. And I said, get my pal on. I said, just throw him on. And he just made the old notes. And luckily for Danny Sonner, my son at the time would have been 13 for him. Luckily for him, my son went in McDonald's at the end of the night. Because we'd lost him, couldn't find him. Went over the road to McDonald's. Danny Sonner sat in the drive-thru, bashed because he don't know. Yeah, he'd gone over there. I don't know what he was doing that, but I think. And then the following time he come down, lost him again.
Every time I see him, he's just bowling around with his shirt.
Shirt, what up?
Yeah.
His shirt, I don't know where he's gone. He only does one. I was lying in bed in my flat at 3 o'clock. No sign of him again. Phone starts going, 0121 number. It was the Texaco garage at the Midway. He'd passed them the phone and got a need to get hold of a Burns. He locked the game score, so I had to go and get him in a taxi.
Brilliant. Just,
my daughter don't speak to me because he broke the shower from my daughter's bedroom, falling over. But listen, doesn't matter. He's comedy gold and I'm doing it for him.
Yeah.
And he'd do he come on and he some of his stories, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
Because
they had a life before Blues, didn't they?
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. Playing Premier League for Sheffield Wednesday, yeah. He was going to sign for Spurs, he was, and it just didn't quite happen for him. But yeah, again, all the players around that time, like I said, I'd go back to what I said.
Yeah, it's pedigree.
He wouldn't have got in anyway. You know?
Mm. When did the realisation after the 5 years come up? Do you go into like negotiations then?
No, well, basically with me, the difference. I played in my first year as I was, yes. I snapped my cruciate and that's cancer. So that's me done for 9 months. Which, you know, your cruciate, like Gaza done, so it was touch and go to come back.
Mm.
But see, when I did my cruciate, it was different then because in the UFC, you got a broken leg hanging off, you can wait. It would never happen now. Luckily for me, after a month, the one physio, John Price, tried to have me run around my stools. I kept falling over. So they start writing it, fixed. And luckily I come down here, and Neil McDiarmid was...
Cool.
Yeah, Neil McDiarmid, the first thing physio, who was the best physio you'd ever... Within 2 minutes, you've done your cruise, what's going on? So I always spent 9 months down here with Neil, because there was the gym. If you're properly injured, which meant over a period of time, you're based here in Neil, an old gym over there, but it stunk. Honestly, you'd like a hot, just sweating. Everybody loved it in there. A lot of ex-players used to come back here from other clubs to rehab here with Neil. Day she was here at the time when we went to Cov. They'd all come back here to work with Neil. So I had 9 months doing that. So I missed the first year. Come back from it. Played the second year. I had the third year that I reserved in football. And then the last year I was there, Brian Easty thought he was Arsene Wenger and he started signing foreign players in the youth team. And we signed two French lads who, when I played the first team, Jack Williams and Trezor Lantala, who played in the side the year we went off when Trevor was manager, because Trevor went just before Christmas.
Yeah, there's a lot of fanfare for those signings, wasn't there? Yeah, the next big things for France.
Oh, so he used to call him Patea Vieira. We're going, fuck off, really.
That's a big label, eyes.
Yeah, I mean, could one was black, one was left footed, one could run. There was like that, and all, so that was writings on the wall here. Do you know what I mean? They're bringing people in from France. It ain't going to happen for me. I was not, like I said, I never really got on with Beast. He got a bit of a personality and character which he didn't like. He wanted to control you, you know. And then I remember playing a game. We played a game, a semi-final at Portsmouth Ground. A semi-final of the Southern Juniors, something like it was, under 19 competition. And we went 1-0 up. AJ scored. 1-1. I'm captain of the youth team, by the way. 14 minutes gone. Sub. Took me off. 14 minutes.
No injury.
So I called. It ain't working. I said, 1-1 away from home. He said, what's not working? We're 14 minutes to go. Anyway, I absolutely smashed the life out of the ports of changing room. Ripped everything off. Telly's off the wall. Everything. 2 minutes after I finished smashing up, AJ came in, he came off injured. We ended up drawing the game 1-1, lost 2-0 penalties. But when I went up to the stand, see my old man and all them, what are you doing? I said, nothing. They all thought I was injured. And that's when I knew, I thought, it's...
Again, face don't fit.
It's not going to happen now. Do you know what I mean?
To take your captain off anyway is a big thing, isn't it? After 15 minutes.
It was done to humiliate me. But it's to bring me down a peg or two, I don't know. But he did, you know, I thought that's the end of it, mate. You know what I mean? That's the end of it. And like I said, I smashed the charger, always got away with it. No, because
blame AJ.
Listen, he could have been caught on video doing it and there wasn't nothing to him. Do you know what I mean? I think actually for that game, he had to go and speak to Karen about letting him play. Because it was semi-final, you know, and he wanted to win things. He knew he was not part of the youth team no more. He wanted to win things, and he could have played him. And he got off injured. I think he got a bollock in him because he was injured then. So that was, and then I started. Losing the plot a little bit. You know what I mean? I was just doing these 3 nights a week instead of two.
This is like when we spoke to Paul Tate, and he was saying, talked about this, and like when you're coming to the end or if you've got issues, and that, who did you speak to for welfare or those types of things? There was no one, well, was that? Who did you speak to?
Like I said, there was nothing there. Like I say, we used to get hammered if we went into town with our tracks on. You only wear your tracks in town on the bus on the way to a game, do you know what I mean? You see these kids now, and they're walking around town with headphones on, because they've seen them get off the bus on Super Sunday, wash bag under them, a tracksuit, flip-flops on. They've never played a game, and they never will play a game. But they're so protected now, and you can't say anything to them. Like, Martin Grazer and Paul Tate put Jimmy off in one of the industrial drives over there. And short of turning it on, they'd have killed him, do you know what I mean? Like, Grazer, he used to get the balls, I'd say we're collecting balls after the training, and he'd volley them over the Riddle Road. Down the Riddle Road, because if you lose a ball, you find. It was all stuff. I loved it. I thought it was great because it builds you. Builds a character. Because you know, right? It happened to them.
The Riddle.
He did. He goes, fucking fed sat there and say another hour. So then they're going, where's concerns? Who are the balls? They're supposed to be there. He's getting fined. You know, 40, 50 a week. You're getting fined tenner. You got nothing left. But they think it's hilarious, you know? They think it's hilarious. And you used to get hammered. And rightly so. I'm rightly so. I was probably the worst out of our lot because I was injured for 9 months, so I'm bored.
Yeah.
And all the academy lads are coming. When we was last year in the YTS, so the academy lads weren't lads clean ones. So they sat around and thought, well, we're cleaning and doing stuff, they're not going to do it. So when they're out training, they all come with their little sponsor at the time, the academy lads. So I'd swap, everybody straps it over. All the pants had been done with DP. I'd cut the ends of the socks off, yeah? So when they put the sock on, the foot could through it. But what I'd done was I'd filled the trainers full of ice. So the ice would melt. So they got no
sock. Home alone.
Yeah, so what's the difference? Then they go to the kit manager, Richard Clark, and go, well, I got no socks. And Clark goes, fuck off. It's your problem. So you've got kids walking home with freezing cold feet, no pants, no socks, they've been cut up. We used to have one out of hide, it would hang you on the peg from his pants. Every day, so and you on the wedge and hang you on the peg.
Yeah, don't think you get away with that these days.
Borderline bullying and criminal at some stage. Mm. But it happens. Like, when I went in as a young kid, and the sandwiches come out, my sandwich would be shut for all the shit off of my boots, all the stuff, they'd fill it up, like yours. It's just something happened. Like I said, Tatey and them, they've said it, we was there to do them with Grinder and Tatey. And as we're proving next week, I all went the wrong way and I ended up in trouble. was in prison a few times. And after the one time I got out of prison, I approached somebody, maybe Dean Oldham, actually, was a little bit old at the time, and I said, look, you've got these kids now who are walking around thinking they're professional footballers. And they're not. And I'm not, I'm going to say our youth team. It weren't the greatest youth team. It wasn't me, AJ Capaldi, Daz Carter, Craig Fagan, Marcus, all them sort of kids. We'd give these kids 10 now. Just because we were taught the proper way and we used to fight and battle for it. Do you remember? They'd give everything now. And I'd say, look, I've gone the wrong way. I'm trying to get myself sorted about it. Is there any way that I get a job? Because even though I was that game of Southampton was coming to the end, I was earmarked for the coaching. Right. In my last year, I was running under 15s, who Marcus Patton applied for himself. I was going for all the badges and everything, and that, and it's all ifs and buts. But if what happened in the next chapter didn't happen, I'm fully convinced I'd have been somewhere to be the job now. But it's all ifs and buts. So I didn't get to do that. But I was saying, surely there should be a job somewhere where, right, I'm sitting there, I've played at this level,
yeah,
I've gone the wrong way, I know what mistakes are made, I know what, because if you give me my life back now at 18, I'd be in the first team at 20. No, you might know now, yeah, because you go and do what you didn't do there.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be somebody to tell these kids, don't do that, get the headphones off, stop talking about getting 100 quid a week there, you know, because they seem to think you'll be let go of all the Blues and go and play for Warsaw. We don't know. Dog is a bowl now. But if you want to play football, go and play football. Go and play football for 3 years and work your way back up. But they don't say, they just think about it. I'm going to get this and that because I'll be at the Blues. It don't work. So
yeah,
there should be somebody telling them. Yeah. And then as Tatey has done that, he's gone now. But that was Tatey was doing. And he was seeing what certain players up to and he was telling the club. And I don't know if he went right for him, but that's what I wanted to do.
Lived experience, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've done it.
Mm.
I've done it, and five-year deals and playing at Old Trafford and reserve team games and playing here and playing there. I've done all that, but I've also done the wrong stuff, which I know what can happen. So let me put a bit back and try. But it never happened. It never come back to me. I'm sure it happens nowadays, but obviously it would have been there. The third week criminal record, you can't employ. Why can't you? There's people out there with criminal records who've got jobs.
The best youth workers are exactly that. Are the people that have been in prison,
yeah,
or have been in trouble and a bit able to, like say, use that life experience to show the kids which way.
One kid out of 50 made it through something that I'd have said to him.
Just took one thing.
Success, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But he just come back. He just come back that it weren't going to be happy. But like I said, that time after the game, I was losing the plot a little bit. I was going out. I was having lots of problems fighting them. Culminated with me in the September of 2001. I had a bad fight at the Baggers of Dad's pub. We tried to go to jail for
promotion year as well. No, 2001.
It was that start of September, so start of that year. So before we went up to 2002.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
What can you go into that?
Yeah. What was happening a lot was, like I said, the bag had been a Villa pub. There was a lot of...
I was going to say, I was a constant...
Here we go. On the way out, are you? Now also you're not a superstar. All that's constantly bugging all the time. Do you know what I mean? And,
so you would have been like 21, 20...
20.
20.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just before my 21st birthday. Yeah. So, ended up getting nicked for it on the Saturday morning. Supposed to be at Wastos on the Saturday morning for a game. Obviously, I wasn't there. It was quite bad. I initially got nicked for attempted murder. Initially, it was that bad because the state the kid was in. So obviously, you come out of the club and it's going to be going anywhere. So you go in there. So I went.
So that was it, just immediately?
Yeah, yeah. Just went, just was that. That'll be gone. Which obviously, a lot of my play at the time didn't realise the dawn on me as much. Well, that's the end of it for the Blues, you know? That's the end of it. So... that was going on for a long time. It was very, very... If I knew what I knew now, I'd have gone to trial on it all the way. I'd have walked. Because basically, the geezer knew it was the altercation. He didn't have no idea what happened. He was that bad. And he blamed all my old man. Because my old man was to go for the pub and bit of a lad, etc., etc. He assumed it was him. And it was all about trying to get money. and it come round after 2.5 years. And we just bought another pub in Erlington, which is the Rose and Crown, which turned out to be another Mount Villa pub, the Wallaba. So we had the two of the Mount Villa pubs. And we just was in the court, and the barrister said, look, somebody's going to jail. The kid was too badly injured, somebody's going to jail, so there's nothing we can do about it. I said, well, what's A, B, and C? What, you know, go to trial, do what? He said, well, if you go to trial and lose, you'll both get 7 years minimum. Both of you. But my dad's done, I think. He said, well, if one of you is guilty, I'll get you 2 years. But either way, it's no good outcome, is there?
No.
You know? No. So at the time, I had no kids, nothing like that. And I just went, well, do you know what? I'm going guilty because I did it. Dad hadn't done nothing, got the new busy, blah, blah, blah. And I did, and I got the full 2 years. I had everybody in court waiting for me, but got the full 2 years. Which was always going to happen. I was on a stage where I was going, like, it was going wrong here for me. And for me, yeah, of course you want to be a professional footballer, of course you do. But I didn't want to play Real Madrid and the Blues. If I wanted to do that, I'd have signed for somebody else at 16 when I was offered first team football at 16. Mm. Could have gone to Shrews, placed Langley, you could go straight to first team. Or Plymouth. Plymouth was one. We went down there for a game and Plymouth said, we'll sign you and put you straight to first team and you signed for a contract. But I didn't want to do that, which I should have done. It's what I should have done eventually.
The disease of being a Blues fan, isn't it?
It is what it is. And if, like I was talking about certain people earlier and the buzz they get off certain things, that was mine. You know, I didn't want to go nowhere else. Didn't want to play for anybody else.
That's what Paul said, weren't he? He never looked at a single contract that Blues put in front of him.
Just signed it, didn't he?
Mm.
But I never got a put in front of me, so that was the only side of one. But I would have done customers. So there was, for me, it was nothing. It was just a case of, well, that's it now. But in the 2 years while that was going on, obviously, you start looking at me now. I was one of them ones. I had to train. I couldn't just do what I wanted to do. Mm. So at the end of the season, when all the lads are on the piss every day, I just had to train every morning. And I actually signed for Kidderminster the year they won the conference. When Rushton & Dolls for all the money at it.
Mm.
But all that was going on, and I weren't really properly, because you can't bet so much going on. And that never escalated with them. So I come out of jail in 2003, probably the fittest I've ever been.
Getting the football team.
Is it like, yeah, I was in the football team.
Is it like Meme Machine?
In the football team. Not like a good pals with Mark Ward. And obviously,
we had him on the
other week. Ward is brilliant. Yeah. Ward is great. We weren't in prison never like him. You know, but I think he ramps us up a little bit, didn't he? Yeah. He get that 11 together. But yeah, we had a football team. It was all right. Do you know what I mean? It was all right.
Where was that? When's
the by the Screws?
No.
It's
just that it was in between yourself, you know what I mean? But I say it was all right. I've been back another 4 times since that time, so.
Enjoyed the football
team. Yeah, I enjoyed the football team. Wasn't what you think.
I mean, where were you?
I went to this one who I was going to jail because I went to Worcester on something like the 20th of November. And that's when I went, hold my hands up, done it. So I said, well, I'll hold my hands up on the proviso, we don't come back till after Christmas sentencing. Because I've been in bail for 2 years, so I know we're going to get out. And he went, I said, listen, well, I'm not doing it then. I said, I'm not going to. I said, I'm not, I want to have Christmas out last one, because I know I'm going. And he said, no, you might. I said, I'm going. I know I'm going. So the judge went, okay, no problem. Come back on, I don't know if you've never fit that, January the 13th to Hereford. Hereford, because I'm going to be in Hereford. I'm sentencing you. So that's what I knew. I thought, yeah, I'm definitely going, because he won't let it go if he's, you know. So we went to Gloucester, which is now closed. I was in there, and I'm. You only see Jar from the films, do you know what I mean?
So I was going to say, lovely place, Gloucester. But I'd imagine.
I never see much of you. You only see what the films are. So I go into an holding room, I've been. Well, first of all, I was first up on the court on the day I got sentenced to 2 years. And I went, you don't know, I'm only in my suit and my wink, pick of shoes off, eating my bollocks off. And they come down at half four. I said, listen, I'm freezing. We're going to jail. I'm lucky, you remember, you're freezing. You're going to jail. Get used to it. He said, we're going to move you up to the magistrate's court because we're going to be going in a bit. I went, okay, so. And then he went over there. And the magistrate, they slammed the door behind me. And I turned around, it was like in slow motion, the massive thing on the wall, somebody had scratched on the wall. Welcome to Gloucester. Enjoy your bird while someone else enjoys yours. And I thought, oh, lovely that is. You know, lovely thing to say. So I was in there. Deep. Yeah, that it gets you, but then you realise, hang on, this is where I am now. You know, so I went to the Gloucester, got there on the night in a holding room. And like I said, you only see what's on the films. And I knocks the door, going for the piss, to go in for the piss in the hallway. So they open the door, go for piss, and four of the biggest bald-headed geezers have followed me. And I just think I'm just going to get battered out and all. Do you know what I mean?
Bad or bummed.
And it turned out that they was the four reception orderlies, right? Which wouldn't mean nothing to most people, but if you're in the jail, the best job in the jail is reception. But you don't get the job unless you've been there for ages. And the one coming, he said, I don't know how you fucking managed to do it, he said, but when you go back to the wing, don't accept a job. Well, they're going to give you the reception job over here, which is because you're out, you sell all day and every day and you get all the perks over here. Well, I didn't know anything about it, did I? So I went the other car. So I got the reception job. So my time went really quick. And I went from there to Lael, which is the open prison in Gloucester. Football team was there. But the odd part there was, it sounds really mad, after 3 days, I wanted to go back.
What's near the other prison?
Oh, yeah. Bored out, mate. Because all you have to do in the open jail, they open your door in the morning, chitty on the bed. You have to be back at the door for tally at 1 o'clock and back at the door for tally at 8:30. So if you ain't got a job, you're just walking around all day. I'm used to being open up at 7 in the morning, reception all day, doing bits and pieces. Don't go back. I don't even go back till 8 o'clock at night. I've got a load of letters on the floor. He probably swore me letters. I'm asleep. It went like that. It really went like that. So after 3 days in Lael, which is supposed to be where you want to be, I went, I want to go back. I've had enough of this. But you do adapt eventually, and then you, and it was, and I come out of there in the August the following year. Went back to my dad's pub, which he's always been in pubs. Then it was starting to move, hang on a minute. I come out really fit. But I didn't want it no more. I couldn't have, like I said, I was earmarked for all the coaches. I'm going to know the game inside out. I come down here and thought, you hear everybody, he's better than the people on the pitch. Hey, shit, I could do better. I mean, no, you couldn't. But they've got an opinion on it, haven't they? And I couldn't listen to it. And I couldn't, because football was giving the same as young kids now with the washbacks.
Mm.
All the coaches were the same, talking like, you know.
New terminology.
Front foot press and all that. That's just closing the ball down.
Mm.
You know, and all this game. And I just thought I couldn't have it. So by the time I was 27, I stopped playing. Stopped playing at 27. I'm riddled with arthritis now, so I'm sure I've bed for a piece now. So, I mean, the last game I played was down here in 2016. Joey Hutchinson, that broke his back.
Mm. Also, yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Did he get the big payout for that?
Yeah.
Was it Obeach?
Ocean Beach.
Oh, Beaver.
Mm-hmm. But he was lunatic anyway, so he would have jumped off, he would have been playing up. Don't get me wrong, don't deserve.
Of course, yeah.
It's his negligence, but he wouldn't be playing up, Joey. Great kid, though. Shame. Oh, I will say with Joey, I've never seen him nick a bird like him. Never seen anybody pull a bird like him. So shame he's in the wheelchair. So we played down here, that game we played down here. The side, our youth team, against the side that played when he was there. So Benno was in goal, Nicky Eden, Grange, John O'Percy, John McCarthy, Graham Hyde, Martin O'Connor, Danny Sonner, and Dealey and Jeff Horsford up front.
What's the side?
And we lost 4-3. John O'Connor was going to penalties, we was going to score, and none of us could walk, so fucked. And O'Connor was going to penalties, we'd be fitting in a penalty, AJ and Daz Carter on the pitch as well. Because I always say to Daz, one kick you end your career, one kick. One penalty made your career, one's him on. But John O'Connor in the last minute. But that was the last game I played because I was working at the time, delivering beer. I had to wake off work. I couldn't walk. And now I'm riddled with arthritis. I am now the original getting nutmegged with my legs closed. Seriously, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm like, yeah. So, nutmegged with my legs closed. So, I was at hospital a few weeks ago, the orthopaedic, and I said, they want to do an operation. I basically want to break my knee and build it back up straight. And I said, well, how long? And I said, 3 months, 4 months. I said, no sense. Too much.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Too much off his feet. So back to this. We had the pub.
Yeah.
Played a bit of, got a good, sounds really mad, the proper Sunday side together. All the lads are playing at Moor Green and places like that. I played at Worcester for a bit. It's a Moor Green. Loved it at Moor Green. I just played Sunday football. But 27, I was done. I didn't want to, I was just, pull my white back on, because I'm on the piece all the time. Because you're doing the pub.
Yeah, then.
Occupational hazard.
A doctor used to say to me all my life, he goes, I get doctors, well, doctors in this, how much do you drink? I drink everything up. And I have a curry when it's bed, because that's why I'm in office. So you're going to tell me, stop drinking, stop your curry, you can do it. So there's no point going, I know you're going to tell me, do you know what I mean? So, like I said to you last night on the phone, about me all mad, I've found myself, biggest influence on my love, but I found myself, all the stuff is doing me any easier. Dad, shut up. I'm saying it every day, it's boy.
I said a your WhatsApp picture, weren't it?
Like, yeah. My missus now got that done, because we never had a... Because moving forward onto what I did after the... When we had the football there, I went the wrong way completely. Wrong people, doing wrong stuff. Lost a lot of friends. Lost a lot of friends in a 4 or 5 year spell. You asked me today about regrets. No regrets. Because for me, it's pointless regretting something, because you can't do anything about it. You can't change it. You play the cards you dealt with, you fucked it up. That's up to you to put it right, do you know what I mean? So no regrets, but the only regret we lost is I had 2 years out of my dad's life, because I was total carnage. I was involved in other stuff. I went to jail another 4 times.
Drugs and drink?
Fraud. A lot of money problems with different things going wrong, missing and owing money for different things. Then started gambling, trying to get the money back. It was just total carnage. And my dad cut me and my dad best mates. And I've never spoken about it to anybody, apart from this is the first time I spoke about it. I had 2 years out of my dad's life, which cut me off for 2 years. Which is the only thing I regret, because we was that close. Like I said, jail another 4 times, doing a lot of wrong stuff. But come out of jail in 2019. Mad story, really. My solicitor texts me. He must have been drunk, because he only ever texts when he's drunk, from what I know. And he texts me, any chance at £300? And luckily for me, I went, fuck you, £300? I said, no. I said, I'd never walk out the front door. We ain't having it. I always go down the dancers, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not paying you no more. I said, I ain't got anywhere. I've come out of jail. I've got no family. I've spoken to my kids. All spoke to my kids. Me and my kids are really close. You see by the picture, really close to my kids. I've got nowhere to go. I was on the sofa to sofa. And he just texts me, I'll come and see you in the morning. Well, fair enough, I'll just leave it at that then, because you know, all I'm beggars can't be choosers, can they? And but nobody knew these problems I had. No, I was always able to front it out. Nobody knew. And he come and seen me, and he said, well, where are you living? And I tell you where I was living. The pub we had, the Rose and Crown, which we got rid of in 2011. I went and seen the gaffer there, because she used to rent the rooms upstairs. And I bullshit that. I said, I've got a flat in Castle Brom. I said, I'm going to need a boiler fitted. Not ready for a month. Any chance I can rent it? Because I didn't want the shame of people going from what I was. So I literally had nothing. I said, I made a story about a boiler. So I just need somewhere to get me a thing. She went, you can have that room upstairs, £50 a week. It was my old room, mad as it sounds, my old room when I lived there. So I was in there, and I went and seen Mr. Lister, and he was doing the HMOs. And he said, look, I've got a house in Smithwood, which was literally at the back of my house in Castle Brom, where I bought Makes Me Sinking, where they still live now. And he said, go in there, you ain't got to pay nothing. It's got to be universe credit, you ain't got to pay nothing. Excuse me, look after the house, man. Get a couple of days work here and there. I'm going to take it from there. So I did that, and I hated every second of it. So my eyes to other people who've got problems, but most of my people don't give a shit about life. They'll be in them all their lives, do you know what I mean? I did it for 18 months. Never was banned from driving, never drove the car. To walk through 6 buses a day, carrying 1 bag of shopping at times, I couldn't carry no more. But persevered with it, and I thought, just keep doing it. Just keep, because I don't want no more trouble, do you know what I mean? Don't want no more grief, just keep doing what I'm doing. And eventually, if people are right, what they say, do it the right way, it comes around, it'll work. And fortunately, did I end up getting myself flat in Marston Green. And I'd said to my kids when I come out of jail in 2019, we'll start doing the football again, as if we'll go with each other, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Summer's right into it. And that's how the roost. I used to pop in the roost.
Because I said, you first started going in for a few beers.
Yeah, because remember, I said years ago, I used to set the stuff up there, it's the gaffer to do the raffle. So I thought I'd pop in the roost. And I just kept myself to myself. Because babe, at the time, I was... put super cool, showbiz news to certain people in certain walks of life.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be about it. I didn't want to be seen about it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I had to, how hard was that to come away from that life?
For me? The hardest part of coming away from it was you can't just come away from it because you've still got stuff you've got to pay, for example, or people have always gotten hold of you, or people, or you've also gone, I've still got to live here. You've still got to do some, what do I do? Because all you ever do, all of us ever do is for your kids, isn't it? Your whole thing is for your kids. Whether it's right or wrong, you're just trying to feed them or make sure they, I mean, all you want, you don't want your kids to have a problem you've had. So it was, I don't know, it's quite well known. If I was sitting anywhere at the phone, what are we doing now? I couldn't get away from it. And I had to just go, you know what? It is what it is.
Going back to Tatey's one as well, he just said he just had to cut off certain people because he loved them, but he loved them that much. He just knew they were naughty. And even that thing he said, that he went and done a Q&A a couple of weeks ago and someone's like, I've left you one in the toilet.
Yeah.
What the?
But they're people.
That's horrible, isn't it?
They know what that can cause for him.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm good. I'm not. Tatey was here when I was here as well. I spent a lot of time with Tatey when I was injured. And both the same sort of things. I mean, that's come back to the Baggett used to say to me, Rob, we hate the Blues. You come with AJ, you come with Horsfield. Do not bring him in there.
Yeah.
I said, it's just do not, out of all of them, do not bring him in there because they hated him.
Yeah.
You know? I said, listen, Tatey's no different. He might punch your head in if you're not careful. Well, he won't punch 40 of you. He will batter him. All of us, they hated him. Because Tatey was that at the time. You know? It's like you say, he was involved in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed to get away from certain people. And I was over the moon about it. It left me with nothing at all. But I thought, I'm going to lose everything. I said, lost 2 years with my dad, which I could never get back. Do you know what I mean? Which we were good when he passed. I looked after him for the last 6 months. And we were good. So I'm okay with that, but it's just that's the only regret I had. But yeah, going to the Roost, like my pal says to me, we can go anywhere. My missus now says we could go older. 6 hours away, walking somewhere I know. So we've always been that sort of kid, you're gonna know somebody. So it was really hard to try and keep my head down.
Yeah.
Try and stay on the straight and narrow, try and stay away from certain people and try and get to where I'm nearly at now, you know?
Well, I think that you've nicely kind of carved it out where you can now still use your contacts from then to bring people into the pub and we'll move on to Ed Sheeran and stuff, which is probably like, but like to get that buzz back and get the right people in the Roost and stuff. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And you know what? And like I say, anybody watching this probably don't know a lot of this family, and there'll be people watching who I've let down and fell out with, and all I ever say is, never a bad kid, just went the wrong way. And people don't realise, again, we were watching films earlier, it is a lot of, you can't, it does happen like that. It does snowball, mm-hmm. and you can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the hub of most things are at a pub. That's, yeah. Wherever you are, the hub of that, all that sort of stuff is the pub. Do you know what I mean? But it took me 5 years. 5 years to get to where I wanted to be. So like, there's no short-term solution to a long-term problem. That's what I've learned in life, do you know what I mean? And also, one of your questions you mentioned about best bit of advice. Probably the best bit of advice I have somebody was a horrible bane of my life for 4 or 5 years, hating him, caused me problems. But on the one occasion when it was okay, he said to me, you can't look after yourself. You can't look after anybody else until you look after yourself. Meaning your kids or your family, because if you're not right, you're not right for anybody else. You're not putting effort into everybody else, do you know what I mean? And that struck home. You've got, it might sound a bit of a selfish scenario, but if you're not, you're number one. Yeah. If you're not a number one you can be, you can't be nobody else's number one, you know? So the pub was always going to happen because I've always been involved in pubs. And I had a lot of pals going to me at the time when all the manners were like, what are you doing? Your game is the pub. Like your dad, be the pub. Everybody comes to the pub to see you. You can make it work. And fortunately, it did. Do you know what I mean? Fortunately, it did.
Was that your first one, the Roost?
No, I run the Rose and Crown with my dad.
Yeah.
Which we had that. When I got nicked at the Baggot, but I had to go to the Baggot. My heart had to move. So we bought the Rose and Crown while that was ongoing. We was in there for 10 years. And then we jacked it in. But the Roost was... And I said the Roost wasn't actually mine on two fronts. the Roos was owned by other people. It's my missus who was the manager there. She was the licensee there. She'd been there for 5 or 6 years under different managers, and they'd all asked her to run it, and she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do it, and remember the one game, I knew the old gaffer threw the keys in, and they were going to offer it to her, and we was in the box over there, and I said to her, I said, they offer you that pub, you take it. Chance for you to get more dough for you. I said, I'll help you, we'll do it together. And she did. So that's how that happened. Though I regret a few times drinking the pub. That's how I met her, though. She used to be the barman. I was at the end of the bar. And that's how I ended up meeting her, probably drinking in there. Wish I'd used the George now, to be honest. No, not really. But yeah, so she took the pub on.
It went from like, yeah, so the Roost was like not really that relevant, obviously, when St Andrew's Tavern and the George and stuff like that. And you, since, was it a coincidence, or was it since you took it over and kind of ran with it that it became this?
Like I said, a lot of people go into me, run a pub. Right, obviously, we went away. She took over towards the end of the one season, and we went away and we sat there and I said, do you want to have a go? I was at a stage now, I still had probably coming out of them, and I said, should we have a go? Do you know what I mean? Because I had obviously links to the club. I don't know if you ever went in the Roost, but the Roost was decorated like a museum. The garden was done. But when we took over, that garden weren't astroturfed, or there weren't the outside. None of that was there. We got that done because we built it up. Managed to get a few credit gigs around to pay for it, which was hard work. But all the stuff in the pub was mine. He never once went to me, do I owe you for that, or how much is that? He just assumed it was, you know. So he'd done that, and then obviously know a lot of people, and they started coming and seeing us. Don't get wrong, the Ed Sheeran thing helped. Because that's something, I suppose you're going to ask about that night.
Go on, let's get into it now. How the hell did that come along? Because that's so random.
Well, the funny story, he's been to the Roost twice. The first time he came, we wasn't actually in charge.
Right.
On the afternoon, two of the lads, I run the pool team there. I'd only been there, drinking their 6 o'clock when we charged the pool team. I didn't even sort of get out of that. Two of the lads had a money match. And we put a disco and stuff on afterwards. And I don't know if you know the Roost, like the back room.
We are in there most weeks.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You're in the pool, where the pool tab was in there.
Yeah.
I've come out of there and I've walked to the bar, which is literally from me to you. And it, I mean, fucking hell, that looks like him. And it's you, and that does, doesn't it? Doppelganger that is. And the gaffer at the time, he did him. I said, fuck off, that's money. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise how big of a star he was, to be honest. Because I've always been around football, it doesn't bother me. And he went, did him? I said, fuck, it's not you. I said, he is. What's he doing here? He does a bit of his pals with JK. And JK had phoned up in the afternoon and said, Liverpool played Man City. We want to go and watch the game somewhere. Can we come down there? Because obviously, but he'd said this a few times and not turned up, so the bloke didn't think he was going to show. So, and it was him. And you've seen all the pitches to follow, and then we started playing pool in the back. And he cheated.
Did he?
He cheated.
Oh, that's a headline there.
What did my pal call him? Cheating ginger bastard, is he?
That's probably not the headline.
That's not the headline.
No, it won't be that one, no. Yeah. So he was in the boat. And you see the video, that wasn't made up. That was genuinely having a laugh.
The headline now is Burnsy called Ed Sheeran a cheating ginger bastard.
Yeah, but the best part is it went on. It was madness. I mean, my daughter phoned me. And she went, I've heard it. I went, yeah, he's next to me. She went, no, I said, he stood next to me. And he said, who's that? So my daughter, he took the phone off me, hung up, and then FaceTimed her. And she just couldn't believe it. And he screenshotted the FaceTime call. And she's got there. I think she got there in the bedroom now. But he was brilliant. He said, look, you can have whatever pictures you want. Do whatever you want. He said, but just don't put it on social media till I've gone. Because if you do, and I didn't realise how big he was, but now I do. Yeah. If he didn't know he was in there, that place would be mobbed. Because the following night, on the Monday, two French people coming back. Is this, oh yeah, he's still here. Of course he's still here. Stopped here or not, do you know what I mean?
Locked him in the basement.
But he was had all the pictures, playing pool, singing, obviously the follow. But the most part was, I never come out of there till 4 o'clock in the morning. I had work the following day. I had to go to work, and I was on the bus going to work on my phone. Imagine, being on a social circle I don't want to see or know I'm about.
blowing up.
You're talking Anthony Red Shearer, now you're not going to be seen. Do you know?
Your low profile.
Yeah, basically, low profile's out the window. But my best pal said to me, he said, never mind that. He said, never mind all his Ed Shearer and all that game. He said, the best part about the whole lot is when you said two shots, you prat. Because he fouled on the pool table. Didn't nobody's watching. I went, that's two shots, you prat. Nobody clocked it. Do you know what I mean? And then somebody else had gone to the English pool refereeing association or something and put me forward as refereeing a game because he called two shots on Ed Shearer. You know, but it did put us on the map. But what I will say, it's worth 300 million quid. Didn't buy a drink.
Didn't
I? Did not buy a drink, though.
It's not only it's like
the rich, I mean, he was poncing roll-ups off a little pat in the corner as well. You see anybody who roll-up and pat them a roll-up. So
there's so many.
That's why they've got the dough.
Going to get him on now for a right to reply. He cheated at Paul. He didn't buy a pint and he absolutely nailed Pat for roll-ups.
Yeah, and the second time he come back, I've gone on the settee in the house. I knew the phone was going to ring because I knew he was in town. And I'm lying there, you know, you just got your shorts on, you're just about, you're just comfortable, pissing down around. And the phone went, and I went, oh. She went, oh, I've got to go to the pub. She went, oh, why? I went, come on. She said, I went, yeah, come on, he's there. So we went up, he come up, but he was in the garden, the roast under the thing, just smoking. Yeah, about 3 hours. So on the few shirts.
Patch roll-ups again, was it?
No, that's probably where he's now, because once you punch, you don't get around there. Ponce is always in Ponce.
They always have a part-time, sorry, because they only do it when I drink and all that, and that's
okay. And we started speaking to his security blokes you saw, and they went, listen, he loves it, you know, because you don't nose him. He can have a drink, you know. And at the end of the day, all he is a bloke who's very good playing the guitar. I thought, that's basically what he is. But he's gone to, like, I think he's probably the biggest top song.
It must be solid just to go and just be normal, mustn't it?
That's, I think, what a lot of it is.
Yeah.
And he just, because when he called me, he had two cars parked across the front door, another two cars parked on the side. But he said to me, he said, Danny's coming and stay in the car, they're on it. Because he knew where he knows. And JK pops up to the new place now. And I said to him, he said, you won't see him for 18 months, he's on tour. He said, but he will be back. Because he does say that he's great up there.
Yeah.
Suppose when you've got that level of fame, if you can find somewhere where you are, allow a level of normalcy, just have a beer.
Yeah, when in a pub, he wants a pint of Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants. So you don't even know. You don't even mean anybody. Don't want you being nosed by. Like, I have a thing in the pub and people. Oh, get this piece of pain. I throw, mate. Because you're nosing a bloke. I want to sit up on a pint. Are you going to go eventually? It's the same with the Ed Sheeran rumour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was good. It did put us on the map a little bit like that.
We've been trying to get Jay on for months and months and months, and I collared him down the blues. I said, mate, come on. He went, oh. Yeah, there's my number. And I think he regrets giving me his number because I've like tried to ring him about 5 times and dropped him a few messages. Yeah, I don't know how many phones he's got, though. He's probably got a Norse phone, like a family phone, work phone.
He rings his number. He's
so busy, though, isn't he? Because I've seen he could just come back from Thailand and obviously he's just got loads going on. So we'll get him eventually.
You know, again, like you say, we haven't even got to real reason why, maybe with the pub for the busy thing, but he's doing what he's doing for the club. Do you know what I mean? The game blues fan, so he should be on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, so make sure you go on, see the lads.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want. You say it's all about the club.
This is, yeah,
this is. Like, everybody, isn't it?
Yeah. Everybody's doing this. Common denominator is the club.
Yeah. And just doing bits around Birmingham, shouting about Birmingham and saying how good it is in these, frankly, shit times at the moment. Not for the club, but for the club. Just generally, yeah. The club's good. So tell us about the new chapter at St Anne's now. So,
well, it was an opportunity. I took, again, when we sit at the Roost, we took all the coaches there and the supporters clubs I'm involved in now. They had no time for the Roost because when Cov was there, when we paid him in the cup and we was the away side, he let Cov fans in as the home ground. Now, a lot of us doing the old building, so it's their home fixture.
Really?
Yeah. He's done it with the Cov fans, which, our time at the Roost, it was hard work with him.
Yeah.
And this will describe, because he went now on the Cov fans, because he was thinking 10 grand. The other option was not to open. So I understand if you get a business, you take 10 grand, you open, but then what he lost over the next 4 years for that 10 grand opening probably would have been more. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of people wouldn't go near the Roost. They wouldn't touch the Roost.
That's insane that the police did that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
regardless of the technicality of home game, whatever, it's clearly not the home pub, is it?
No, but he should have shut. He should have bit the bullet and shut. So a lot of people wouldn't go to the Roost. And it's only from us being there, me and the missus. When I said the Roost, me and my missus Holly, she wanted to watch it, so I have to throw it in.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hi, Holly.
She was the licensee, so she'd worked there for years. She knew inside out. We basically took it from $7,000 on a max day to 20+. I think at one stage we got 1.3 million three seasons we took on a max day for that pub. And you see that cup of coffee you got me this morning? That's more than we got off in for doing that. Which people, I tell people that story and they look at you like as if you're talking Swahili, so can't be right. I told you every piece of memorabilia in the pub was mine. Never once said, do I owe you? And then caused a stink when we left, moaned about where it had gone.
Was it your idea to get the DJ in the back and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, people purchased for that. And I said this as well, when they came in the pub, I'm going to digress a little bit, but when we came in the pub, I said to the boy, sir, Wagner's not coming in the pub to buy you a drink. Wagner's coming in the pub to see what works. Because he's widely known the Roosters is the place to be matched ice. With what it was, you mean 1,200 people in there?
Yeah, the entertainment at the back's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
So, another dimension, didn't it? Yeah. And spice capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So they're coming to see what works. And if you look at the front part now, the same canopy's
outside. Yeah, DJ on the top of the
So obviously it works. You know, he might have watched. He'll offer me a job, might he, one day? I don't know. I said, they're coming in.
He watches this avidly.
Does he? Well, he wants to start, then, doesn't he? Yeah, I don't know. So they came and see what works. And Stephen Knight came in the one day. And I'd said to me at the Peaky Blinders, we were in the back. I said, Steve, do me a favour, if you minded a bit. I hate being that nuisance. There were a picture for us on the Facebook page, because he went, well, I can do. He said, but not be a better picture opportunity, a bit if you know what I mean. And I'd heard that Brady was about, we were coming, except for the centre. I thought, no, he ain't going to come. And then all of a sudden, Stephen Knockwood, he said, can I have 10 pots of Guinness and 30 bottles of Bud? So I thought, well, they're definitely coming out there.
Bud, yeah, the Bud, give it away.
But they love the Guinness, they love the magic of Guinness. So they came in, and you've seen the video, they came in, and it was brilliant. And the whole place was a buzz. And that was the first game we played Leeds. It was called the Pen, first game.
Yeah.
The atmosphere was unbelievable.
I still remember that atmosphere. I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, so, like I said, back to all the people that didn't go in the Roost, we're going back. On the openly side, you mean, our main group is Central Blues Travel, who we're going to touch on about what we're doing it, with Tony Routler. And Tony said, I want to come back for you. I only come because of you. I've got no time for him. We come because of you. So, as I said, when I mentioned the numbers earlier, I never got a drink. Hang on a minute. I'm doing this. I did it with your missus for the main reason. You always want to be better than you and you want to try out more for your family. And I said, it gives opportunity to put us on the map. And it did. But St Anne's, there was a few conversations going on about it might become available, looking for someone. And I said, let's do it. Because all the coaches that we bought to the Roost originally went from there. That was their old home, So we knew we'd get them back. And also, mate, the amount of people that, like Brian and all the lads who spoke before, they only came because of me. They said, we have to walk from where they are. We're going to come past the ground to you. And then after, we're going to go away from the ground to where we want to go. So they're only coming because of me. Do you know what I mean? Which I think has been proved now with the Roost, how it's going. But again, the Roost, if it takes £1 million a week, fine. If it burns to the ground, fine. I'm not interested. We're happy where we are.
Served the purpose at the time, and
it got us what we wanted to do.
You're stuck. You've gone when your stock's high as well, haven't you?
That's what I said to somebody. I personally wouldn't want to follow me into that job. Me and my missus into that job. Because I think it can only go one way. If it doesn't, then prove me wrong. But I'm generally not bothered because I'm happy where we are. So this opportunity came up, and we thought, let's do it. Different type of challenge because we hadn't been open for so long. As I explained to you earlier, match days is getting better and better. We're one big massive room, we've done it all out, TV's all in the room. Remember being in his office, but not like the room. It's a different type of room. It's signed shirts and the better stuff. Great for functions and stuff. And we've looked having football events on in there. English boxing event next weekend. All that sort of stuff.
Right. Get such a rider. Get some of them.
Well, Ryder's been made, but he's going to watch his now. He's another bollock off. He's going to put one event on yet. I don't know what. So, yeah, when Ryder's watching, he's giving a push, he can put one in there.
That's it.
But yeah, we had Tony Cohn and Mark Ward in there when we first opened, which was good. It's a great room, I know you, but it's a great room for that.
I'll have to come by.
Definitely.
We will do, yeah. More than Mark, obviously. It's good. I'm happy there. It's good. It's going to get better and better.
I was going to say, when the sports quarter lands then as well, you're absolutely primed.
Well, it's also obviously the way Digby's going. You know, I mean, in a minute it's normal with the roads and all that. But when that tram system was done and the sports quarter was there, you stand me wrong. The roofs are never going to last because I said at the time, you can't compete with billionaires. You can't compete with billionaires who know what they're doing. Most billionaires who want to spend money, you've got no chance. So eventually the roof is going to go at some point because they're just too big. That's where it's all going to be. Do you know what I mean? But like I said, football fans are creatures of habit and they do what they do for the roof. They're still at the 97, as the Shannons have one.
Well, Shannons, as you say.
And they do what they do. We're going a lot with the live bands at the new place, which is great. We've got them all booked in. We've got Colour 6 after the Cov game.
Great band.
Brilliant band.
Johnny Constable.
Yes. After the Cov game, Colour 6.
Brilliant.
Chapter 99 at Boxing Day, played the other week.
Yeah.
Mitchell Thomas, who does the Johnny 2 band stuff, he's there.
Brilliant.
Before the Southampton game. So we're doing different stuff. All stuff I couldn't do, there was just different layout, do you know what I mean? But so the way Digby's going with all the green stuff and everything's going there, we want to be part of it. I've got to check my phone because I wrote some down and I forgot them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The eight groups are working with eight supporters groups. We're not the official supporters group.
Right.
We're eight independent groups, which our main one is obviously Central Blues Travel. Here they are. Because I know one remember them. Zubas in the Community, the Blues Trust, Blues for All, Black Country Blues, the BCF Project, and Northside Blues, and Blues Collective. We're all independent sports clubs. We've done it at the Roos before, but we're doing it a massive push this year. We do the kids' stuff, the kids at Christmas, and this year the homeless. So we're working at the meet with the Age UK to two Christmas parties for kids in care, 14th and 21st.
Brilliant.
And we're also doing the homeless Christmas Day.
Brilliant.
11th or 1, something like that. So, I mean, actual homeless people need for a Christmas dinner. Which, again, people sit and go, oh, they're doing to plug a club. Yeah, of course, it's a business at the end of the day, but this is something we do every year. We do the Easter eggs. We do the elderly people at Christmas, all the hampers and all the non-pets. That's all the collections have started already. There's drop-off points in Digby's.
I mean, it's not like plugging the club and stuff. It's still people getting stuff from it, isn't there? Like,
yeah, but you understand from the side of the sample, it's something, oh, they've gone there to that. It's not about that, because we've done it at the Roost.
Has there not been any conversation with the club about tying in, or is it just a completely independent thing, this community trust that they do?
No, because we're independent sport, we're not none of the official sports clubs. Now, since we have started this advertising it, which you'll see more and more on it for a few weeks, couple of the OSC have jumped back there doing stuff, but we're independent from that. And it's not just to Birmingham. I think if there's people listening in or get hold of it and they're in the Redditch or they're outside or Warsaw, we go outside because we have that much stuff, believe it or not, here, but we struggle to find a place for the kids' stuff.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of why are you doing it and what's it. But this year we've done it all we've got kids' names this year for the party, so when they do come,
oh, you've got
it's pointless giving 6-year-old Johnny a Peppa Pig.
Yeah. Because he's got stuff for him.
Specific this year, which is what we're trying to push, along with the homeless stuff as well. That's where we're going with it. And we're working with all the other pubs. Well, all the other pubs. You've got the Big Balls that are involved. All the neighbourhood community involved. The Fancy. They're all there. And I said, we haven't just moved there for this. We would have done it at the Roost as well this year, anyway. But it's because it with Central Blues Travel, it's like they're going home. So I think that's where they used to go from. So that's what we're looking at pushing massively this year.
Darren Carter asked to ask you about Falaraki and Malia and Falaraki.
We got a wife. No, we did.
And we also need to speak about, what did you say? I'll never fall in love again because we were playing it as well.
So there's, do you want to forget?
So there's two in there.
Darren Carter. Oh, and he's next door. And we went to, it was year after, in that year when I said I had the problems and all that court case I'd go, I managed to get that down. I've got past missing, so I'll never know. But I went. We went to Malia and there was five side competition every week. And it'd be a cage. You know, what they are now. And we didn't tell how we played football, do you know what I mean? And it was the year Daz, it would have been probably the year before he took it was either that year or year before he scored the pen. But nobody knew us. So we played these five-a-side thing, and we won the first one. We thought we'd go, and we won two cases of Amstel. Yes, Amstel's the worst beer. So we, and this is, mate, 2 weeks, by the way. Who does lads on this for 2 weeks, mate? So we won it the first week. Anyway, the second week, we've gone in again, and there's been a talk about, you know, these all play football. So we played a rugby team in the one in a cage. We can smash the pieces we were. So we get to the final again, we're playing against him. I think I'd half this side. And I ended up playing centre half, I think, because Daz Carr was either me or Daz in midfield, and Daz would be fitter than me at the time. So it's 0-0, it's really close in this final. And I'm typically, and I won't change. It's like, you know, it's like I said, if I'd have played for the Blues, I'd have gone for a brick wall. Got a Blues fan, you know, I would have done that. But we're playing this final side, so listen, we're there to win it. Well, there's no point doing it if you're not going to sign me. And a friend of ours who played in the team, he played football, he was actually Tom Ross's son, John Ross, just fell on the floor, pissed himself, because I had a go at Daz Carter in Malia, in 100 degrees at East, in a five-a-side against a rugby team, for not tracking his midfield player. I said, you don't want to track him, cough, we'll get somebody who will. Stop passing him on to me. And he looked at me, I'm being serious, yeah? I'm being totally serious. I said, I can't believe in the middle of Malia, and you're digging me out for not tracking runners. And obviously he remembers it because he's told you this morning. So
yeah, he does jump with him.
He obviously
did.
Did you win? Yeah, we won on penalties, We won on penalties. Like all my
I'm still bare though,
so we won the Amstel again.
Yeah. Imagine how warm that was in that hay as well. I bet it weren't the free drivers.
No, and we're carrying it back.
He loves warm beer. You're tickling his senses.
He carried it back up the street. He's probably in the fridge now. We left it for the cleaners. You can have that if you want. We don't want that. Do you know? So we can have that. But
AJ was
there as well, didn't I? AJ,
I imagine part. Turning up on like a holiday and just I'll have a little kick around.
Not recognised,
any? Tony Paul's blade. They recognised AJ. Was it maybe the year after? I think AJ played for Palace.
Yeah.
In the it would have been AJ played for Palace. They just got promoted. Palace had just won the platform.
And then he's rocking up in Falaraki for himself.
Yeah. You've got away with it. Rocks a bit. Yeah, again, back then. No phones.
Yeah.
No phones.
Oh, it's like Papis. It's out now, isn't it? Every time he kicks a ball for this Sunday League over 35. Yeah. It's all over all the social media, isn't it? Missed the penalty, scored 7 in there or something.
Which is probably a good job. No phones. We do probably do a bit more job than just phones then, do you know what I mean? But like, again, going back to it, if you give me a week back then, it was such good times. Footballers will tell you. A lot of footballers don't know what footballers don't know about coming out of it and having the hard times. Do you know what I mean? They should know, like, I mean, listen, AJ went base show the first day. He never had a problem with his life. Because he's, and footballers are mollycoddled. But at least back then, a mollycoddle have to do it with an apprenticeship. But now, at least he's now at his side. There's just, like, back then, the words that I told you, it was borderline bullying. But when you got to become a pro, the pros have always been for you because you come through all that sort of shit. And it was your
turn. And they've been through it. Yeah. So they're passing it on, passing the baton.
I think, if you've been shoved in a washing machine, they're going to get killed. You're in a football match and the people are you with them and you're hang on, I'm gonna have a go through match, you know what I mean? Which is perfect. You see, that Blues side, that's it. So they won half the games in the tour.
Well, this is, do you know what? When we done the interview with Grindr, he was telling us the things that he had done to him.
Yeah.
Going through non-league and then toughening him up. So, yeah. Again, you pass that on, don't you? You know what that made you as a player.
There's an era, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the boots thing, like I said, some of the stories of the boots, like, you know, just leaving the shower and all. But I tell you when the boots were clean, when the boots were immaculate, Christmas.
Oh, whenever I put a little
Christmas bonus, mate. Christmas bonus. No real problems with Christmas when the boots been dirty. It was right on top then, the Christmas. Yeah. But it's a brilliant time. It don't happen nowadays. And I think a lot of the pros would tell you now, they prefer it like that.
Well, the kids now, they're getting contracts, aren't they, before they've even hit 18, that mean they never have to kick
a ball? Well, the kids don't even try at the same ground now. I mean, I was at Boston the other week, he was really mad. A lad called Christopher Wood, who played for us from the centre forward. He's from Preston. Again, he godfather of my kids to with AJ. His lads are very naughty. And there was a watch the other week. And went to because he broke his leg, poor lad. Last week. No, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Rooney was there at the side of the pitch. His son played to the same side.
Yeah.
He was there. And I hung around with him because I said, look, you need to stop mine tonight because you'll be having another blah. And I was walking around. I was trying to put together where everything was from work because they've built that much stuff now. And we were talking to him out there. I said, and Davo was there. And I said, how many staff are here? Because I couldn't believe when he clipped boards and this and that. And he went, day to day, 113. And he said, 113. I said, there's fucking 7 of us there. And 3 of them was Trevor, Mick Mills and Frank Barlow. 1 kit man, 1 physio, 1 bloke driving the move. 113 staff.
Wow.
And the kids don't train at the same ground as where the pros are. Which I think that's
going to be a good thing with the new quarter, isn't it? Where everyone is back being.
It should be, because when you're trying that youth team, we used to have the first quarter, because we had another bloke, like George Foster, and he got involved, and he was very much smash, and he'd get smashed each other in training. The first thing we could watch us, because we were proper good for each other, which says it was great, that's what you want, because we were striving to be over there with them.
Yeah.
And I think if there's a kid, if you're watching the first team there, you want to be over there. Especially now, though, the money they're spending. So you're a youth team striker, and you see somebody coming 50 million quid, and you're watching it. That's what you want to be. You want to be around it. But
I want to emulate one
thing. Yeah, I want to get on there. But maybe this is why things are gone. It's completely different now. Kids are protecting out now.
Mm.
You know, like they got clapped up. I only got a sack in my second year here because I'd done my cruciate. So I used to hide around the corner around there. We used to have to get a coach to college. To Coventry, us, Villa, Wolves, West Brom, Leicester, Henley College, Coventry, Mr. IT. I used to hide around the corner, so the coach was pulling out, and I'd run out, wave me crutches, miss the coach again. And Des Brendan come out and sit at the training ground, he went, if you miss coach again, you'll get the sack. Could they pity if I could sack you then? Didn't want to go to college. I'm at Wassers the other way, can show that that's where the other college were. They got the PlayStation room there, I went, you're taking a piss. Better people's houses, like I'm holding around a corner on crutches, they're pushing them around, not wanting to get out of coach. And then he's sitting there with, like, you know.
Or Butlins.
Yeah. But better than Butlins.
Oh, Sense Parks.
Well, listen, I'll go to Butlins. He's definitely better than Butlins.
Go on, and so tell us about the song, I'll Never Fall in Love Again. Now, my question was, is this the Elvis Costello version? The Carpenters version?
Burt Bacharach.
Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach. Or a different version?
The one you haven't mentioned, you should know, the Tom Jones one.
It's Tom Jones. We did do the research on that before you got here. We listened to it.
Did you?
Yeah. Just listening to the song, yeah. Yeah.
Basically, we obviously the roof's all round music in it, and we run the coaches, and our coaches are all in. You know, they have music, and even though we know we're not supposed to, we have a tot on the coach, or that we have ourselves. And about 3 years ago, I put on the coach because me and my pals have a laugh. It's a great song. You can't not sing to that song once you know the words. And I played on the coach, and then another coach played it, and then went to another venue. It was an away game, and they started playing it. And everybody's saying, our coach played all the time now. Now, if you pull up an away game, one of our coaches coached through has got a massive thing under them. You know where the luggage should put? It's all speakers. And you should have some music on for the game, and you'll hear that playing on the car parks. And I said, a couple of years ago, I said, my ambition now, I can't play for the Blues no more, right? My ambition to affect the Blues now is, I want us walking out to that, right? I never fall in love. So on Saturday, we was on the coach, so the lads on the coach. And we all started singing, all lagging drunk, singing, probably get all the words. They can't get the words right, but probably Dean was pissed. And the one lad being said, he said, listen, I never thought it, it's so apt to the blues with our song, Keep Right On, and the way it goes, is that I'll Never Fall In Love, based in Your More Club, do you know what I mean? And that's how I am, we want to get that.
I spoke to Marker.
Well, he said, get hold of the blokes, keep playing. We'll just play it once.
Oh, we know yeah, know the data, don't we, Marker? Yeah.
That's what he said, get to do it. Get the DJ, yeah. Back you on. You know, when we have these not under the lights and all the fireworks are going off, and we've got a surprise for you. I promise you, if you put that on, the old ground, I'll be singing. And then the next one that needs to sing it at Wembley in the far form.
I thought you were going to say your ambition is to get on the pitch and get on the mic.
Nah. One thing I've never done is on a box singing because I'm no good at it.
And that note at the end of the again, is quite tricky, and it's got, I imagine, you've had a few beers.
I had a few beers. It
goes all over. Oh.
No, it's easy with a few beers. Yeah, we can do it there. Doing it sober, that's a problem. But I just think I could actually see the whole ground standing up singing that. And if I do that, then my blues journey is complete, yeah.
Mick will fix it.
Yeah. He said, it won't happen the first game. Someone go, the fuck's this?
Mm-hmm.
Once they've started
singing. Mate, he mixed Eminem 8 Mile, didn't he? He's a pioneer. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't play by the rules, so...
Oh, that's where we've got a great chance then. Yeah. But yeah, that would be, I think, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So finally then, so some people look back on Rob Burns, publican, singer, footballer, the bloke at it, Ed Sheeran. What do you want them to remember you by?
Not that you got to go.
What
do you want your legacy to be?
Mm.
I ain't got a legacy. This, like I said, most of my singers, he's clowning on his podcast. I don't know who knows. My old man told me in the pub side sort of thing, listen, you ain't everybody's mate. You're not yet everybody's mate. You need to run a pub and let them enjoy themselves. Give them the best they can, whether they like you or not. And from the baguette, there's still people who I see now go, didn't like you, man. But best gaffer we ever had. And he'd stand for that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be the pubs thing. All the other stuff, like I said, I had a lot of hard times. And I've never spoke about it really to anybody apart from my closest. Never more than a podcast. I don't know who's going to see this. An awful lot to put out of this. Obviously, I was never a bad kid. Just went the wrong way and got in broad. So I had no control over it in the end. I couldn't stop it. Do you know what I mean? I'd give anything for the 2 years better than my old man, which I can't get back. So that's what I want more people to know. All the problems I have had was never really...
Do you think he'll be proud of you now, though? What you've done.
When I said to you last night, he might get any jokes. And he's probably, but he said to me, wait before he died, one line, don't forget, he said, then you come good. And that was all I wanted, do you know what I mean? So that was, I'm happy that was sorted, you know. But a lot of them don't know about all the stuff that I went through. And it's probably about there still, no, you DC, they did this. It was never done out of malice, it was just done because. It was a needs must. It was right or wrong. You do what you have to do at the time. And I have got a lot of regrets in that sense because never that sort of kid, do you know what I mean? In regards to the football stuff, for nearly four years, if it weren't going great in the first year, I was basically running around all the training ground every day of the week in muddy fields and Neil McDiarmid. I had 3 or 4 years. A lot of kids never get, do you know what I mean? Put a blue shirt. I scored a couple here. Scored at the 2-1 a penalty against Wickham in a court final, which you said about our Blues fans, they're never going to get to do it. So you take it for granted at the time. Like I said, you can't change what's gone, can you? Unfortunately, good as Australia. Imagine we all would change certain things, wouldn't we?
Definitely.
Well, so with Blues, you'll never fall in love again.
Listen, mate, that's the one. You've got a chance now. I'll even give you half the credit for it. You can get it. You get out of there, I'll get your name put on the bottom of it. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
You know, they got it to the table at the final of those. That'll do.
Tom Jones, Virgin, Rob Burns, Chris Kev Bagnall.
Yeah.
What more do you want? What more do you want?
Dream. Well, thanks, mate. Thanks for your time.
I've really enjoyed it. And, I hope it's a good one. Not with all the negative comments. Yeah. Who's his client?
Like you say, you can't please all the people all the time.
Of course, you can't, I know.
But thanks, mate.
Not from the soul. Brilliant.
Thanks, man.